Grab a blanket and get comfortable. The Grab a Blanket podcast starts in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Things with Wings Productions presents Grab a Blanket, the podcast. I'm your host, Melissa Oliveri. We've all lived through some trying times in the past couple of years. We've had to find new ways of doing things, creative solutions to problems we'd never dreamed of. We've had to revisit our relationships with work, family, friends, and even ourselves. And when things became overwhelming, we had to dig deep to find ways to bring a feeling of comfort, joy, and safety into our lives. In this podcast, we'll explore the different ways we find solace and peace of mind. This is your moment to settle in, get cozy, relax, light a candle, grab a blanket, spend a little time with us as we explore the various paths that people take to add a little joy to their lives. My guest today is Amy L. I first connected with Amy years ago when I was still living in Montreal. She ran a blog called Collected Sounds that reviewed and interviewed women musicians, which was right up my alley. It wasn't until 3 or 4 years later when I connected with my now husband and moved to Minneapolis that I realized that not only did she live here as well, her dad and my father-in-law were very close friends. Small world. Eventually, my husband, who's a realtor, helped Amy and her husband sell their house and find a new home. Then a few years after that, Amy suggested I turn one of my stories into a podcast, which set me off on a tangent I'd never dreamed of just over 1 year ago now. I have her to thank for so much of the creative projects that have come together this year, including the Skylark Bell podcast, its soundtrack, the upcoming lyric and storybook, and now this podcast, Grab a Blanket. Speaking of podcasts, Amy has some fantastic ones, including Collected Sounds, my personal favorite, Volstedland, which follows the trials and tribulation of famous, or should I say infamous, Minneapolis mobster Kid Can, and a new one yet to be released called Tales from the Shift, where she interviews people about unique jobs they've had. Spoiler, I spoke to her about my time working the overnight shift as a nurse's aide in a convent in my late teens, just to give you an idea of the content. Amy and I share a love of all things spooky and unusual, so I'm quite interested to see which direction the conversation will go as we chat about the ways in which she brings comfort to her life. As promised, each episode will feature a recipe provided by our guest. So be sure to check our show notes for Amy's Dutch baby recipe. Okay, it's time to get cozy, settle in. The comfort station starts now. Hi, Amy.
Hi.
Welcome to Grab a Blanket.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me.
Oh, I'm so happy you're here. Neither one of us has a blanket today because, surprisingly for Minnesota, it's kind of warm.
It is. It's actually pretty warm. What, I think it's 42. My computer says it's 42.
See? I mean, some people right now that live in other places are going, oh my gosh, 42. But for us in December, that's amazing. My husband's out golfing. I mean, you don't even need a jacket hardly.
I know. No, it's great. I was just out there in the sweater. And now I'm thinking maybe I want to take it off. I don't really need it.
Speaking of your sweater and your shirt, you're wearing your Volstedland shirt, which I love. Nobody can see it, of course, because we're audio, but it's a pretty sweet shirt. So thanks. Volstedland is one of your podcasts. Yep. As of right now, it's my favorite. I know you've got another one coming, but you do a great job. Do you want to talk quickly a little bit about what Volstedland is about?
Sure. So it is about the seedy underbelly, I like to say, of Minneapolis in the 1920s, 30s, And we got a little bit further on to the 50s and even into 1961, I think, is where we stopped. But it's basically the life story following, focusing on anyway, a Minnesota mobster whose name was Isidore Blumenfield, and his gang name or whatever you want to call it, his mobster name was Kid Can. And so I learned about him from you. And that, I don't know if you want to go into that story or it's probably, it's already been told on other podcasts.
Yes. Let's just say that I was at Amy's house and I ran into a long departed Kid Can at her house, and that sparked this whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So I started looking up stuff about him because Melissa was going to tell the story on her podcast. And so I started looking up info about him just to give her a little background on him, anything more than she'd already known, but she did look up herself. And I found that his story was super fascinating. And the fact that he kept getting into trouble and kept getting out of it. And I figured there was more to that story. So I started digging a little deeper. And every time I would uncover something new or like an adjacent story that was really fascinating. And so I kind of went down a few rabbit holes. But we tried to stay focused on Kid Can. And that was our first season, which we just ended about 2 weeks ago. I think we released our last episode. And now we're sort of on hiatus, although my co-host Heather and I are both researching stories for season two. And season two is going to be the same time frame and some of the same people that we've already talked about in season one. But we're going to do like deeper dives on some of these stories that we just touched on in season one.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. Thanks. Yeah, I just love it. I have a little bit of catching up to do, but it's such a great, it reads like a movie, but it's real.
Yeah.
it's amazing. Hard to believe. Yeah, it's hard to believe some of the things that happened and that this guy did and got away with.
I know. It really is.
The cast of characters.
Yeah.
Anyway, so today we're here to talk about things that bring us comfort. And now what's funny about you and I is we have a mutual kind of interest or love of all things kind of spooky and unexplained and unusual. And we were kind of joking, how do we make that comfortable? but in a way, I don't know. I do find it comforting.
I do too.
To read these, read or experience these things in a certain way. So, I don't know. I was trying to figure out why that is. Why do these kind of spooky, unexplained, unusual things make me feel calm and happy. Do you have thoughts? What do you think it is?
I can't tell you why, but I can tell you that one of my favorite things to do is to flip on Forensic Files and take a nap. I take Forensic Files naps at least once a week. And just whenever I'm watching TV and I'm starting to feel sleepy, I'll just flip on Pluto and they have Forensic Files channel that just plays them all back to back. And I'm out like a light. And they also have a podcast, which is just the audio of the episodes. So I will download like four or five of those, click that on when I go to bed, and I sleep like a baby.
And just fall asleep. Isn't that so funny? And there must be something to it, because obviously the last 2 years at least, but definitely the last 2 years have been a little tough.
Yeah.
And yet I feel like, and maybe it started before that, and I'm only noticing it because I'm entering the podcast game in the last year or so, but there are so many true crime podcasts.
Yes.
and just it's such a huge thing. And you mm-hmm. would think that things like that would be kind of upsetting or unsettling or, mm-hmm. And when you're already stressed, you don't want to – and yet people are gravitating toward it. So it's really interesting. I don't know if they're trying to like bring resolution or if it's just somebody else has it worse than me. You know what I mean? Like I find it fascinating that in these difficult times we're turning toward things like that, but somehow, it seems to be bringing comfort to people.
Right. Well, I think part of the true crime thing, especially it's mostly women that listen consume true crime stories. I think it's because so often we're the victim. Mm-hmm. And so usually these stories have a resolution. Yes. The killer gets caught. He, you know, he goes to prison or whatever, or he gets killed. And I think there's, it's partly that, it's partly maybe learning what to look out for, mm-hmm. learning to see the signs in somebody that's creepy that you want to get away from, or, you know, what to do in a situation, if you're in a situation that you want to get out of, what to do. And so I think part of it is, honestly, education. Mm-hmm. But part of it also, I love the puzzle solving of it. Like, I like stories where they give you what happened, and then they give you a bunch of clues, and then you're sort of figuring it out along with the detectives and coming right. to the, you know, I'll call. He did it long before they get to that part where they actually say who it was. And I love that. That's just fun to solve puzzles, you know?
Yeah, that's a great point. It's a great distraction.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah,
it is.
Yeah, you're right.
But then again,
and it is a great learning experience for women, too. That's, I hadn't thought about that, but that's really, really, that's probably totally accurate. That's really interesting.
Yeah, I don't know for sure. I'm just
But it makes sense. It makes sense because we do have to be, unfortunately, more on guard mm-hmm. generally
yeah.
Than men do. So that makes sense. Well, skipping on to other, maybe more lighter fare. So, I mean, it's the holiday season. There's no escaping it, right? I've got a big old tree right next to me here that is just off camera. So, of course, I'm sure our conversation will turn to that a little bit. But even outside of that, are there certain things that maybe as a child you had or did or turned to that brought comfort that you still do today?
The things that comforted me when I was a child were my stuffed animals and my blanket. I had a blanket, a blue blanket, when I was little. I called it Boobanky.
Oh.
And it had the soft, satiny, rubby stuff on the outside. So I had to have that. And in fact, my parents went on a trip, or we all went on a trip. I think we were to Madeline Island, Mackinac Island. That's the one where there's no cars on, right? You have to
okay.
take a ferry.
Yep.
And I had left my blanket at the hotel, and we had gotten on the ferry, and we were on the mainland, and I lost myself, and my parents had to organize somebody to go back over to the hotel and bring it back on the next ferry that I could get my blanket back, because I had lost my mind.
Oh.
So, but I did get my grungy old blanket back.
Good.
I don't know how old I was, maybe 5 or 6, probably
yeah.
too old to be throwing a fit like that. But yeah,
no,
that was, I had to have that.
Yeah. Isn't it interesting when we're little how certain, and it stays with us, right? Like
yeah.
we remember those objects forever.
Yeah. Well, and it's yeah. good that we remember that, because then when our children do that, we can understand
and empathize.
We know how they felt.
Exactly.
Yeah. yeah.
Oh, see, grab a blanket.
yeah, it really It is. And I guess one of the things I like now still is, I mean, you know, I know it's the name of the podcast, but I have some really soft, furry, comfortable mm-hmm. blankets that when I'm sitting in my office and I'm cold and I decide I'm going to take a break from what I'm doing, I'll just go sit on the couch and pull those blankets all over me, and they're nice and soft and fuzzy, and it is very comforting.
It's a real thing.
It is.
And you don't have stuffed animals, but you have real animals.
I have real animals. Yeah, my happy place is in the morning when I wake up and all the animals are around me. I'm in the bed and I have, you know, one on every side of me and one on my leg and one on my head and just laying there with everybody sleeping. It's really nice. I never want to get up.
Because you have, is it four dogs?
Four dogs, yeah.
Wow. And for a while you had a couple cats.
We had a couple cats, yeah.
Three dogs and two cats, or four, still four
I
dogs.
I think we had, yeah, at one time we did have four dogs and two cats.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because we had our inherited Yorkie.
Yes.
And we still had the two cats.
Okay, so are there any rituals? Well, I guess what you just described, waking up in the morning with all the dogs, but mm-hmm. Is there anything like that? Or even, I guess we hear the term self-care a lot.
Yeah.
I bring that back to comfort, but
do
you have any kind of rituals or habits or things like that that you do?
I do every morning. I make breakfast and I sit at the breakfast, but we have a bar in the basement, and I sit there. There's a TV right above, and I sit there, and I eat my breakfast, and I watch an episode of The Dead Files, which is a show about a medium that goes into people's homes and tries to help them figure out what kind of entities are in their home. And then she has a partner who's a retired police detective, and he investigates researches the house and the people who lived there before and gets their stories. And then they come together at the end and she talks about what she's seen. He talks about the history of the house or the neighborhood or the land. And it's just really, really interesting how she sees this stuff and then he corroborates it.
Yeah.
And he's kind of a skeptic, and he's always blown away by the fact that she saw what he investigated, what he learned. Yeah.
Wow.
So it's
what a way to start the day.
I know. I just sit there and I do that, and I play solitaire with real cards.
Nice.
So I do that. That's my hour ritual every morning.
That's actually really great.
Yeah, it's fun.
I don't think there's one other person in the world who starts the day exactly like that.
Probably not.
That probably sounds perfect not. To me. I love it.
Yeah.
So, of course, with the show, I've promised everybody a recipe with each episode from our guest. And you don't have to necessarily, unless you know what you're going to share. But kind of on that topic, are there certain foods that, you know, for example, and this is kind of a weird thing, but I became vegetarian, oh my gosh, almost 20 years ago. And one of the things I miss is those traditional, like, meat pies or the stew that my grandmama made, things like that. And so now today, finally, 20 years later, I can kind of replicate a lot of those. But I'm just wondering, like, are there certain foods that you think of when, you know, you've had a really crappy day and you're coming home? What are you looking for? What do you want to eat?
Yeah, mostly it's going to be pasta.
Nice.
It's going to be like a stroganoff or a macaroni and cheese or something like that. I'm a carboholic, so anything that's like stuffing and mashed potatoes is my favorite part of Thanksgiving. I could get rid of everything else as long as I have those things. And so anything that's like soft and savory and, you know, that kind of thing. But the recipe that I was thinking of giving you is for a Dutch baby.
Ooh.
Which, do you know what they are?
Is it like a type of a pancake?
Yes. It's like a giant popover.
Yeah. Okay.
And so you make it in a skillet, and you can add anything you want in it. It's basically flour, eggs, salt. I think there might be a little bit of sugar, but it's not really a sweet dish necessarily. You can make it a sweet dish, but so it's basically you whir all that up in the blender and then pour it into a hot pan that's already been in the oven and has butter in it, and it sizzles, and so the outside gets kind of crusty, and then the inside is nice and flaky and it puffs up, and you can put blueberries or apples or anything like that in it, or you can do like cheese or ham and cheese or whatever in it. So
nice. I like, it's like a crepe. It lends itself to either sweet or savory. Those are the best kind.
Yep.
Because then you can do two. You can have one.
Exactly.
You can have like a cheese one and then a sugar one after.
Yep. Exactly.
I love it. So Amy is also a foodie. Mm-hmm. And you actually have is it a blog? Not really. Noodlehead is kind of
I have a blog too, but I mostly put everything on social media, on my Instagram, Facebook.
Yeah, that's fun. It's fun to see what you cook. I love, even though I don't eat meat again, so there are a lot of things that I would have to adapt, but even just seeing, now there's one recipe, speaking of comfort food, there's one recipe that I got from you, and I have cooked it more often than I think anything else, and it's like a coconut curry, an Indian coconut curry with cauliflower and homemade naan. And it is the most, sometimes I'll throw a sweet potato in there or whatever if I have other veggies that need to get cooked.
Yep.
But it is so, so yummy. Maybe I'll interview myself and share that recipe.
There you go.
It's worth it.
That It'll is
be
a good
a
one.
Christmas bonus recipe.
Yeah. I can't remember where I found that one. I think maybe it was Bon Appetit. But I've cooked that a few times too. And it's super easy.
It's really easy. Yeah. And I actually didn't have garam masala on hand, and I still don't because I just Googled what was in it, and I had most of those.
Yeah.
I feel like you can, you got to get loose with cooking,
yes,
right? You can't be uptight. You got to just kind of, you know, it's not going to be this exact same every time. It's
right,
okay.
Right. Yeah. No, I am definitely more of a cook than a baker because I don't like to follow directions.
Right.
I like to cook with my heart.
Yeah.
And whatever, you know, I measure with my heart instead of, I don't like to use tablespoons and measuring cups and all that. I just like to throw stuff together and see what happens. But
exactly.
Then it turns out really great. And then you want to make it again and you can't because you have no idea what you did.
This is true.
So I run into that a lot.
Yeah, that does happen. Well, it's funny because my grandmama, so she's in her 90s now, and she's French-Canadian, of course. When I moved away and she was getting older and she has Alzheimer's, so I was trying to get some of her recipes while she still kind of had them in her mind. And even her baking recipes for cakes and things, it was like, and then you just put some milk.
Oh.
And I'm like, well, how much milk? Well, you know, just enough. You know, and it's like, huh? And I think as far as baking went, they kind of went with just the consistency.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if part of it is because they didn't have access to French things all that much. There was a lot of English around them. And then also maybe their reading and writing skills weren't top-notch for a certain generation. Maybe like her mom and grandma.
Yeah, yeah.
And so they just learned to bake and cook by just looking at how things, you know, they remembered it was, okay, one egg, and she would say a nut of butter, which I was like, what's a nut of butter? And she said, well, you know, big like a nut.
Oh, sure.
And then I'm like, well, like a hazelnut, a walnut.
Are we talking a peanut? Or
she was like, you're overthinking this. You know? But it's just so interesting to see how they operated compared to, you know, like a Martha Stewart recipe.
Right. Yeah. I don't think my grandma really measured either. But she wasn't a huge baker, but I don't think she measured either. Yeah, maybe that's it. I suppose if you're really good at it, I'm sure real good pastry chefs don't probably measure either. They've done it a million times and they know what
it is.
I think
you just know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you just get to know it by heart, what it's supposed to look and feel and smell like, and go from there.
Yeah.
That's for those fabulous people who can bake every day and stuff. Yeah.
Right. I have a friend like that. She bakes amazing things. And everybody keeps telling her that she should open a bakery. And she's like, no, I don't want to do it for my job. Then I won't like it. I just want to do it for fun.
Oh, that's a good friend to have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's happy to make whatever you want.
Shout out to the baking friend. Maybe I'll have to chat with her sometime. That's nice, comforting. Nothing like a warm croissant on a cold day.
Oh, she'd be great. She'd be great for this. Yeah.
I love it. Well, okay, so her hobbies are baking. What are your hobbies? What do you like to do for fun?
Well, I'm having a blast researching for this podcast. I didn't realize that I was a investigative journalist or whatever, but I'm having a lot of fun researching this. I am meeting people who have a connection somehow. So I am meeting people who have something to do with the story, or they knew him, or their parents knew him, or they have some sort of interest in the same subject. And so these people are popping out of the woodwork, and I'm meeting with them, and I'm having a blast talking to these people and making new friends and talking about this stuff that I didn't think anybody else in the whole world would care about. And and they're like, there's a guy that came out of the woodwork that has been researching Kid Can and these people around him for 15 years.
Oh, wow.
And he gave me stacks and stacks of files.
Amazing.
That he's been researching. I have to give them back, of course, but I've been going through them and scanning them and reading them. And it's so much fun just uncovering all this stuff. Like you said, it feels like a movie, but it's real.
It's interesting that, you know, just to be real, he did some not so nice things.
Yeah.
But here we are today, and those not so nice things are like bringing people together in a really nice way.
That's
you
true.
Know, so it's almost like balancing the dark and the light a little bit, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
There's something really cool about that.
Yeah. That's true. I hadn't thought about it that way. But Yeah, that's
turning the, what is it, lemon into lemonade.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's something I like. I also like, you know, watching TV and movies and cuddling on the couch with my pups and cooking. And
so, cuddling with the dogs. Yeah. I don't know. I love that.
Yeah.
That's the best. There's something about having a warm living thing.
Yeah.
Just leaning on you and just, it's a mutual, right? We're comforting them too, I think, right, at the same time. Right. But
yeah. The two medium-sized dogs, they're both quite cuddly and they surround me while I'm sleeping.
I love it.
Yeah.
Well, that brings me a little bit to our next tangent. So we've talked about pets and whatnot. Are there people, whether it's a family member or a friend or even like a coworker or a place that you go that has a person you like to see? For example, I love going to our coffee shop because the people who work there are awesome. So are there like certain people that if you're having a bad day, you kind of gravitate toward, whether they know you're having a bad day or not, like you're just kind of inclined to go visit somebody?
I do have a few friends who are seem to be always positive, always ray of light kind of people, and you're one of them. So, yeah, I mean, I always feel lighter when I talk to you and another friend I'm thinking of too, who's just always, I mean, she can't possibly always be in a good mood, but but you know, whenever I see her, I talk to her, she is, or at least she's forcing it, make it.
She probably feels happy to talk to you. You know what I mean?
Maybe.
I think it's a two-way, at least for me, that's how it is.
Yeah. Well, I try to be positive as much as possible, but you know, but yeah, there are certain people that, that are just that kind of light, you know, that's the only way I can think of. It's just like a bright light.
And
those are the people that you gravitate toward for sure.
Well, last on my list before my final question is places. Is there a place you turn to, you know, even if it's like a park or a museum or your house or your bedroom or whatever?
Well, my bedroom in the morning with the pups all around me is probably my happy place that I can get to.
Yeah.
If I could go someplace quickly, it would be either Copenhagen or Edinburgh, Scotland.
Ooh, nice.
Every time I'm there, I just feel like I'm home. Either place, I could be happy living either place. They're very comforting places to me.
Do you have history in either of those places, whether it's genetic or whatever, or is it just, isn't that interesting?
I have a tiny bit of Scottish in me, but I think it's just that, you know, I got married there. Greg and I went there for our wedding many moons ago, and we've been going back every 10 years. So we got married there. We went there in 2008. So we got married in 98, went there in 2008, and then went there in 2018. And every time we get there, I just feel like I'm home. You know, we usually tend to go to the same types of places and stay in the same areas. And so I just feel like it's my vacation home. You know, and so I'm comfortable there. And Copenhagen, we just went there once for Greg's work. I had never been there. I didn't know anything about it. And I was invited to go along with. And I was like, I don't know anything about it. I don't even know, you know, what the people look like. I don't know anything about it. And I got there and everybody looked like me because I was blonde and everybody spoke English and everybody thought we were Danish. So they would come and speak to us in Danish. And then I'd have to say, oh, sorry, I don't speak Danish. And then they'd move right into English. And, you know, it was, everybody was friendly. The food was good. It's just, so we went back there a couple times too.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Oh, I love that. Yeah. Like almost like a cultural connection in a way.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like they're my people, but
yeah.
I don't think I have any, I mean, I did the 23andMe and I don't have any Danish in me. I have Norwegian, but I don't.
Yeah. That's
have
so
Danish.
Interesting how certain, you know, how you gravitate towards certain cultures. Just,
I felt actually the same when I went to New York City. As soon as we got there and walked through Central Park, I sent Greg a text and I said, I'm not coming home. Come and bring the dogs because I'm home now and I'm staying here.
Nice.
And I was only there for a couple of days, but I love New York City too.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
Well, so the last part of my episodes, kind of flips the tables a little bit and asks, how do you bring comfort to other people?
All right.
What do you like to do? What's your go-to trick to perk somebody up?
I'm a good listener. And so I like to, you know, if someone's having a rough day or whatever, if they want to talk about it, I'm happy to listen. I try not to be too Pollyanna-ish and always turn it around to, oh, but it could be worse. Or, oh, you know, think of the bright side. But, you know, sometimes you can do that. But just talking things through with people, I think, is comforting. I like to cook for people. I'm an empath. And so I tend to take on whatever somebody mm-hmm. else is feeling. But I also, I'm an idea person. So I like to give people ideas for what they can do to help their situation or something I think they'd be great at. Like when I suggested that you start a podcast with your book.
Boy, did you light the fire.
and that also is then comforting to me to, you know, I mean, it's sort of selfish when you're helping somebody else and it makes you feel good. Mm-hmm. It's a win-win, but it almost feels like it's selfish because I get excited when somebody else feels good because of something I said or did, you know?
That makes sense. Yeah. And I'm seeing echoes of how you were saying with the true crime thing, you like to solve puzzles. Mm-hmm. And I think if somebody has a problem or isn't mm-hmm. feeling great, it's kind of like a puzzle. Okay, how can we make this better?
Absolutely.
Which pieces are going to fit? I just love this idea of talking about kind of simple, happy things with people.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And it's interesting because so this is only episode number 2. So you're only the second person I've spoken to.
Yeah.
But the conversations are so different, even though I kind of gravitate toward the same themes. Mm-hmm. It's fascinating to see how people, you know, bring that warm, safe, cozy feeling to themselves and what they use to get there.
Yeah, so. And I think this is a great idea for a podcast, too, because there's a lot of people out there looking for comfort that are feeling mm-hmm. out of sorts or, you know, especially with all this stuff that's going on right now with the everything.
Everything.
Everything. I would start naming things, but then that would just be a downer.
exactly. We'll be here till tomorrow.
Yeah.
And yet we can still laugh. It's beautiful.
Yeah. I think it's going to be really nice for people to listen to these and get some ideas of their own. Maybe they'll be like, oh, hey, maybe I'll try that. Or
totally. You know? Totally. Yeah. And at worst, they'll have, you know, a home-cooked meal. Yeah. Based on somebody's recipes.
So. Yeah. Yeah. The other, when we were talking before about if I should do a food or a drink, and the drink that really is comforting to me is coffee with Bailey's Irish cream
and
a little whipped cream on top.
Yes.
That used to be my go-to when I was working and I would have to drive home in the snow, ice, like when there's a storm or something and it takes 2 hours to get a 15-minute drive. And I would just be in the car being like, it'll only be another half an hour before I get my coffee and Bailey's. And I would go home and make my coffee and Bailey's because I'd be freezing and annoyed with traffic. And then by the time I get home and put that together, it's not really a recipe, so I didn't really want to use it as a recipe. But it is definitely something that is very comforting.
It was your shining beacon in the dark, cold night.
Yeah. Bailey's.
I love it. This episode, but no, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, right.
No, I have to. I actually stopped drinking a couple years ago for no other reason than I was having panic attacks and I was trying to figure out what was contributing. So I don't do it anymore. But at Christmas every year, I would buy a bottle of Bailey's, and I would either put it in hot chocolate or coffee, and that was my little, or even just on ice, that was my little treat.
Yep, I love it. It's really good, even with club soda. It makes kind of a like a soda, like an egg cream kind of. Yeah, it's really tasty. That reminds me, I was going to mention, you mentioned panic attacks. I used to have panic attacks pretty bad. Like, I thought I was dying.
Yes,
and I know that's what they are, basically.
It's
and I
awful.
Think it's because my heart, it skips a beat once in a while.
Yep.
It'll just be like bump, 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 and then it'll stop. And then go bump, 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 like it's trying to catch up.
Yeah.
And I went through a period where I thought that that would happen, and I thought I was dying. I'm like, I'm having a heart attack. And then it would spiral into a full-blown panic attack, and I'm shaking, and my gut's turning, and all of that. And so one of the things that that I used to calm myself and talk myself down from that was music. And it was a band called Trespassers William. Do you know who they are?
I don't.
They're not around anymore. And their music is just so beautiful and calming. And so I always had their music on my phone so that if I, no matter where I was or whatever, I could just pop my headphones in and put that on and just try and breathe and calm myself out of it. And then I listened to it so much that I got to the point where all I had to do is close my eyes and I could hear the music in my head.
Oh,
and it would
nice.
Help to calm me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that always really helped too.
Yeah.
I mean, music in general does that for me too.
I feel the same way. And my trick with the panic, so my panic attacks were exactly what you just described. And, in fact, the intro and outro music for this podcast is an instrumental kind of version of a song I wrote about this one really, really bad panic attack.
Oh.
But my little trick, and it worked most of the time, was to get on my phone, go to YouTube, and look up like cat fail videos. And it was just, or baby fail or whatever, just like animals and babies falling down and doing stupid things. And for some reason, like, because it's so silly and a little bit predictable because you know somebody's going to fall on their face. And there was comfort in that. And it distracted me just enough, mm-hmm. you know. And then sometimes I would do some like Pilates movements and breathing exercises. Mm-hmm. And then you're like controlling your muscles. So 'cause the shaking is hard to stop. And those things worked for me. So, it's an interesting tangent to go on. And I guess we could extend this a little bit. This summer, I went to Canada to visit my family. We hadn't been home for 3 years. I think it was breakfast, and they were doing mimosas. And I said, no, I stopped drinking because I had panic attacks. And all of a sudden, I'd say all the women and half the men brought up that they had experienced also panic attacks. Mm-hmm. And for the women, a lot of them seem to be right around when they turned 40. And as I'm learning now, that seems to be a thing. Yeah. So I don't know if it has to do with like perimenopause or some other thing, but listeners, if you're out there and you're experiencing this, I didn't know when it was happening to me. I think it would have helped if I knew that, hey, it's kind of not normal necessarily, but it's a thing. It happens, you know, somewhat common. I think to talk yourself off the ledge when it's happening, to go, okay, no, that's what this is. Mm-hmm. I'm not dying. Yes, it's scary, but everything's going to be okay. You know,
but then there's always important. That part of you that goes, but what if this is the time that I'm dying?
Right,
you know? I know, so then you have to fight that too.
It's the worst. Yeah.
I know it is, but you know, I had them a long time ago and I'm still alive. So, you know, you're probably not dying.
Right. That's how I feel too. Like it's been a little while now. So when I feel them start to come on, I recognize it. And I'm like, no. And try to nip it in the bud. And I think that really, you know, once you learn your strategies, you kind of have to do trial by fire, I think, and just live it and figure it out. See what works for you. But I think just talking about it with other people, I'm amazed how many people now that I've talked about mine say, oh, gosh, that's happened to me.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, why didn't I talk about this the first time when I was like 18?
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of us, when we experience anything that is unusual, we think we're alone. We think we're the only one that this happens to. And then once you say something, you find out, oh, it's actually quite frequent or quite common.
Yeah.
And I'm not a weirdo because this is happening.
Right.
You know, the same thing with, you know, I'm discovered that I'm probably ADHD by watching TikToks about it. People would say, you know, do you ever experience this? Blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh my God, that's me. I just thought I was a weird one. You know, I thought that was just me. And now I'm finding that so many people around me are getting diagnosed in their 30s, 40s, 50s.
Yep.
And it's amazing.
Yeah, it's comforting to find out that you're not alone in whatever it is you're living. You know, at our house it's autism, but it's just knowing, or even I hate to use labels, but even having some kind of a label, no matter how vague, to go, oh, that's what that is. That's why this, I do this, or that's why this happens, or I feel this way.
Yeah.
It really, it does bring comfort.
It does.
It really does.
It does. And you're like, okay, I get it now. This makes so much sense.
Yeah. And then you can find tools to help navigate things too.
Absolutely.
So.
Yep.
Yeah. That's a whole, this is a whole other great, great comfort conversation, really. You know, kind of a more in-depth one, but an important one.
But yeah, I mean, it's good to find other people that are experiencing the same things you are, and you won't, you won't feel so alone. You won't, you have someone to bounce stuff off of, and just talk about it, man.
Just talk. Yeah, I know that's the lesson, and it took me a very long time to learn it. But being more open, sure, it opens you up to getting hurt. But gosh, since I started kind of being more open, just with everything, my music and just mental health and everything else, it really has opened me up to actually let more light in.
Yeah,
you know. Yeah, it's, I don't feel more vulnerable. I actually feel stronger. So if that helps anybody else out there.
Yeah,
I
agree.
Yeah, being open is the ticket.
Yep.
Do it. Do it. Do it.
Do it. Do it.
Oh, well, Amy, thank you so much. This You're is welcome. such a great conversation. Yeah. I always love chatting with you.
Yeah, and, this was fun.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. And
I will mention it in my intro and outro, but before I go really quickly, you have a new podcast kind of in the works that you and I actually spoke about, Tales from the Shift.
Yeah.
And we talked about my time working overnight at a convent in my late teens. No joke. But just to give people a little idea.
Yeah.
But do you want to say a little quick something about that project?
Sure. So it's, I'm going to be interviewing people who have stories about things that happen to them at work. Fun things, scary things, silly things, any kind of work-centered, interesting stories. So I'm going to be talking to, I already, as Melissa said, I already interviewed Melissa, and I've interviewed one other person who worked for a radio station in the 70s, and her stuff is pretty interesting. And then I'm going to be talking to a nurse, a sex worker, and somebody who was a jail guard.
Oh, wow.
So that's what I have now. I haven't met with those people yet, but we have it, you know, we're on with them. And then, so I'm also looking for anybody out there who has some interesting stories about something you experienced on the job. And I'm thinking it, for it to be that way, because like some people might think, oh, being an accountant is boring, but an accountant might have a really interesting story about something that they uncovered or something, you know, that, you know, as far as much as you can talk about things like that.
Kid Ken's accountant.
Yeah. It didn't go so well for him.
Yeah. Oops. Ixnay the accountant. Hey.
Yeah. Well, that's because he asked for a severance package when he wanted to leave. You know, you're not supposed to do that with the mob.
Yeah.
They tend to just let you go in a different way.
Yeah.
But so I wanted to just kind of gather some stories and share those with people who might find them interesting.
I love this idea. So listeners, it could be you. If you have a unique experience at work, whether it's general, whatever the job you're doing is unique, or you have a regular job, but something unique happened.
Yeah.
Just a cool story. Yeah. I love that. I can't wait.
Yeah. I'm excited. I'm excited to talk to some of these other people too.
Yeah. Do you have an idea roughly of when you're hoping to launch?
I'm thinking probably January, February.
Okay.
Well, now that it's December, maybe closer to February, because I want to get a bunch of them in the can. Yeah, I want to get a bunch of them done and ready to go before I launch, because I don't want to be scrambling, you know, to put something out every week. So
yeah, like I'm doing right now, because this episode right now comes out in literally 12 hours and 31 minutes.
Oh goodness,
so, it's okay, it's all right.
Wait, yeah, I did the same thing with the first season of Olmsted Land, and we kept saying we should really record this week, but then I wasn't done, and I kept finding more and more stuff, and I was like, I'm not ready yet. And then I ended up cutting most of it, and that's why we're doing season 2 with the deep dives, because I cut out so much. But yeah, so I want to get my act together for the next season and have a few of them. And with the Tales podcast too, to get enough stories done and in the can before I release. So
Yeah, it's easier that way.
It is.
Well, thank you again so much, Amy. This was great. We touched on so many things that
we did.
I think are going to be helpful to somebody out there. So
I hope so.
Yeah. Oh, well, you have a great day, and thank you again so much.
All right. Thank you. You too.
Talk soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for listening, and a big thank you to Amy for taking the time to chat with me. Remember to check the show notes for her Dutch baby recipe, as well as links to her fantastic podcasts, Collected Sounds and Volsteadland. And if you have an interesting story to tell about an unusual job you've had, be sure to reach out to her, and you may end up on her upcoming podcast, Tales from the Shift. Be sure to join me next time as we discover more feel-good stories and tips and tricks to bring more cozy, calm, and happy feelings to your day. Before I go, a nod to Canel for the intro and outro music, which is based on a song called The Mess Inside Your Head. Hopefully we've helped calm that mess a little bit today. Take care and talk soon.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.